years. My life is like a cloud and that comes and disappears. And what follows in the eighth stanza of Psalter 422. Scripture reading for this special occasion can be found in the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, and that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty God of the heavens, God of the earth, who does sit upon thy throne, and according to whose good and wise counsel everything takes place here below, moment by moment, and that is so difficult sometimes for us to understand. And then it is also in the midst of this family that thou hast taken away a beloved husband, a beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and brother. And Lord, thou knowest how needed that he was, especially by his own dear wife. And thou knowest that thou dost not ask her, and thou dost not ask the family, and thou dost not ask us whether it is thy time or no. But thou dost do as it pleases thee. O Lord, how that they shall miss him, and how that we shall miss him also. O, that thou may remember this family in thy mercy, that thou may go before, and when that empty place is going to be felt more and more in the days that are to come, O, that thou may fill that place with thyself, because thou art alone the one that is able to fill it. And then our words are so empty, except that thou dost speak, then they are full. And then there is substance also in this hour, because man is a miserable comforter. But Lord, thou art the great comforter. Thou art the only comfort in life and in death. Oh, that this widow may experience that in her life. Oh, that these children and loved ones also may experience the same. And that all the dependents that they had upon husband and father, oh, that they with all this may be found at thy blessed footstool. Remember thou us as a consistory, as a congregation, for thou knowest also our loss, our great loss. Oh, could it please thee to help us, Lord, that thou may give us wisdom when the older ones do fall away, when the experience does fall away, or that thou may be on our right and on our left hand, and that we might feel that ever underneath are thine everlasting arms, and that thou may remember also the children and the youth of our congregation, when thou hast used him as a catechism instructor for these so many years. Oh, could it be that they also in their missing may be found at thy footstool, and that all that he has done in the labors in the midst of our flock may be sanctified and blessed. Oh, they will be no more. Lord, then we will miss him in the leading of the services, in our consistory meetings. But wilt thou give men and that may truly and tenderly fear thy holy name, that they may be given in the offices which thou dost institute in thy church, and that also the rest of the congregation may be edified, and that and that thy work may continue. Look thou upon us in this hour, and when we are called to bring a few words out of thy holy word, make it so unto each one of us, not the word of a man, but may it be the word of thee. Be thou in our midst feelingly, O Lord, and believingly, and glorify thy own name undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Mrs. Van Heerden, it is a most solemn occasion when you come this afternoon into the house of the Lord in order that you may be under his word, and that you may in this day bring the last remains of your husband unto the grave. Your married life now lies behind you, and you are forced now to go forward all by yourself. Of course, you have a very loving family that are all around you, have been so and will be so. But when you will ask all of the other widows and widowers in our midst whether your family is able to take the place of your husband, then they will tell you that they are not. But there is one that is able to do that, and that is the Lord himself. And that is certainly in these moments what we would wish for you in the future. But in these moments we also want, on behalf of the congregation, on behalf of the consistory, and on behalf of our denomination, to thank you, and because you have selflessly given your husband for so many years over to the service of the church. And we are sure that there were times and that this must not have been easy for you, as you have brought up your children. And that must not either have been easy for your children when their father was so often gone. And we wish to thank you, family, so very sincerely for all of this. And we do hope that also the labors that your husband and father and were permitted to give himself for us as a congregation, may have been blessed for the profit of your own souls, congregation. We often do not realize what it means to be an office bearer. The account which an office bearer must give is greater than the account that has to be given by other persons in this world. The Lord says unto an office bearer that he must give an account of his stewardship. And that is now what makes an office bearer as such a solemn task, that he has to give an account unto the Lord, and that he has to appear before him with all that he has done and with all that he has not done. And Elder Van Heerden, we may say, has taken this task of his very, very seriously. For 30 years, he was given to serve this congregation. 3 years he may serve as deacon. 27 years he may serve as elder. That is, congregation, a long time. And he has done for us as a consistory many labors. He has been for so many years the clerk of our consistory. He has gone so many times in the midst of our classes meetings. He has accompanied us many times also to synodical meetings. And in the many years that we have traveled with him back and forth, then we must say that we have never heard a word of complaint out of his mouth, that it was such a very willing service that he has given to us as a congregation, as a classis, and also as a denomination. Only lately, he has expressed domestic concerns, and we as a consistory thought that it would be wise to give him a little relief from a few of his labors. But it has pleased the Lord to give him a complete relief from all of those labors. He is going to be greatly missed. He is going to be missed here in the midst of his family. He is going to be missed in our consistory. He is going to be missed in the midst of our congregation, I think, also by our children. May the Lord humble us under all that he has given. And may the Lord give us to acknowledge him for what he has given, and also for this family, for what they have given, and also provide now for both them and for us. Family and friends, I have not spent a single moment deliberating the portion that I was to speak about to you in this afternoon, that was given to me, that was given to me before I had an opportunity to bend my knees, before that I had an opportunity to even ask it of the Lord. I thought afterwards, the Lord says, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And indeed, so it was, because that was given to me when I was standing with this family, and when I was called very suddenly to this sick bed, expecting that Elder Van Heerden would have to be airlifted once again to Calgary. And as we were there with his family in another room, then that sick bed, we realized, was very, very quickly turning into a deathbed. And congregation, as a minister, we always like to be prepared. But there was no opportunity to prepare myself. And then we find out sometimes that the Lord is very, very near. And that when the Lord sends a man, that he also helps him. And then he has led us, not realizing what was in this portion, the Song of Solomon 2, not knowing what I would be reading, standing there with his family suddenly around a deathbed, the last moments, final moments, reading to him, and as reading, standing in awe, honestly, standing in awe at the goodness of the Lord unto his people, at the goodness of the Lord in their life, and at the goodness of the Lord in their death. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, we wish to say a few words this afternoon out of this portion. Song of Solomon 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So far the words of our text. The bride called to come away. First, the reason for this calling. And second, the time of this calling. The bride called to come away. The reason for this calling. And the time of this calling. My beloved spake and said unto me. Who says that? That is the bride. And she is speaking about her bridegroom, as she speaks about the voice of her bridegroom, Mrs. Van Heerden. You have so often, for 47 years, heard the voice of your husband. And I think that from far away, when you would not be able to see him, when he would be speaking, when he would be calling, and then you would be able to say the voice of my husband. And you knew that voice, and you did not mistake that voice for any other voice. That voice is no more to be heard in this world. It is no more to be heard in your home. It is no more to be heard by you. It is no more to be heard by your children and your grandchildren. But do you know now what this bride said, this wife said, the church says? She says, the voice of my beloved. And that is still possible for you. And that is what we may now hope for you, that you may come to know him as your beloved, and that you may come to know the voice of your beloved. The Lord is speaking, congregation, unto men in the midst of this world. Is that not a wonder that the voice of the Lord is heard in the midst of this fallen world. That is a calling voice. He says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. How does he call? Or he calls by the creation. We teach that to our children. That is a calling voice. The sun is such a voice. The moon is such a voice. The beauty is such a voice. The destruction is such a voice. The rain is such a voice. The thunder is such a voice. The lightning is such a voice. Oh, it is that voice that the Apostle Paul speaks about when he says that that is heard throughout all the earth, throughout all the world, and that by that voice, every man in this world is left without excuse, because there is not a single person, there is not a boy, there is not a girl in this whole world that does not hear that voice of the Lord in the creation calling him. Oh, it is calling, unto you I call, O sons of men. Oh, it is a voice calling the creatures of the blessed and beautiful creation of this world. That is in the first place. But in the second place, there is another voice. That is the voice that is coming to us. That is the voice that is coming to our children, our seed. That is the voice of that law of the Lord. It is the voice of the gospel of the Lord that is coming to each and every one of us who are sitting under that word. But congregation, we do not have an ear. We do not have an ear to hear the voice of the law. And that says, do this and thou shalt live. We do not have an ear to hear the voice of the gospel. And that is calling unto men to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ without money and without price. No, we have no ear for it. No ear for it. Our ear needs to be circumcised. We have an ear to hear all the calls of the world. We have an ear for all the entertainments and all the enjoyments, all the iniquity and all the sin, all the vanity and all the carnality that the world has to offer. Oh, then we have two ears that are drinking in all the callings that are coming from this world when the Lord converts his children. Oh, he gives them to hear his voice. He circumcises their ear. He opens their ear, that they may hear, and that which they may hear in an outward way, that which they may hear in the external calling the Lord is bringing in their heart to make it an inward calling. What does the Lord say then? Then he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Are they not beautiful names? Oh, my love, he calls them. My fair one, he calls them. Do you ever desire in your heart to be called by the names that the Lord is calling his own people? The love of God for his church is an eternal love. I have loved thee, he says, with an everlasting love. That is a love that has been from eternity and to eternity, that never ends and did not end, no, even through the fall. And that is the reason that even after the fall, and then the Lord has determined that he was going to bring his own people back again from that pit into which they had fallen. Why? Because he desires the communion, that communion with his own church, with his own elect. How must he bring them back? You say, well, he must just call them. He must just send his servants. And they must just preach. And when they hear, then they will return. Is that so? No, that is not so. Why not? Because his elect. Do you know what Paul says of those elect? He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That means that also those elect that do lie in that heart of God from that never begun eternity, also those elect are born into this world as those who need to be delivered, completely delivered in a state of spiritual death. You ever say, I am not elect? You ever despair of that? You say God's word speaks about the elect. And oh, when I read that, then I am afraid because I feel in my heart that I am not so. Because I am just carnal. I am a worldly person. I'm a sinful person. I have a hard heart. And then it is not possible that I would belong unto that people. Is that right? That is not right. No, congregation. Do not despair of being an elect. Because you are so hard. Because you are so cold. Because your heart is so worldly. No, the Lord converts such persons, his own elect, when they are still lying in that awful state. How does the Lord do this? Oh, we spoke about an internal calling. The Lord gives them to hear his voice. Did you ever hear his voice? He calls them to rise up and to come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Is that not sweet? Or is that not tender? That is how it is felt in the life of that people. Oh, that people whom the Lord stops. The people of whom the Lord says, you may go this far and you may not go one step further. And then what do they feel? Oh, they feel something that is drawing. They feel something that is so sweet. Oh, they hear something that is a call. It is a call of the Lord that is speaking unto them. Rise up, rise up, come away from what? Oh, come away from this present life, come away from all of your carnal life, come away from all of your vain life, come away from all of your sinful life. Oh, how sweet. Come away. Why? Because the Lord desires to bring his people back again. He desires to have them again, to bring them unto himself, that he may have their communion, and thus he is drawing them away as they are seeking all the communion and all the entertainment that can be found in this world. And why is the Lord doing this? Oh, because he has loved them. Oh, he has loved them with that everlasting love. Oh, and it is his determination and it is his decree that through everything he is going to bring that people back, rebellious as they are, sinful as they are. Oh, but he is going to call them and he is going to bring them back into his own communion. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That is so sweet a calling. And at the same time, it is so very, very powerful. Very powerful. That is a calling that is, in fact, irresistible, because it is a calling that is coming to them by love. And when the Lord is calling them, then He is calling them away. That means He is calling them away from something, from one thing, and then He is calling them unto something else. You kind of separate those two things. Because when we are called, then the Lord is calling to conversion. Then the Lord is calling to turning. And congregation, we cannot go east and west at the same time, can we? We cannot go north at the same time as we are going south. Then if we say we are going to go north, that means our back is to the south. Or if we go south, then our back is to the north. Oh, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says ye cannot serve God and mammon. No, those two things cannot go together. No man can serve two masters. Oh, either you will hate the one or you will despise the other. Oh, congregation, that life in the world and that life for the Lord are two lives that do not go together. They are two lives that cannot go together. That is impossible. Because the Lord is calling away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, away from that former life. Away to a new life, away to a different life, away from a life of vanity, away to a life of substance, to a life of great fullness, away from a carnal life, away unto a spiritual life. Oh, and the Lord is calling away from a life where our treasure is in all the things of the world, and He is calling to a life where a man's treasure is in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal away. Come away, come away from the broad way, and come to walk upon that narrow way. What do you think about that call? Do you have a desire for that? To leave the Broadway? And to walk upon a narrow way? To give that all up now? Everything that is carnal, everything that is vain, everything that is worldly, that we may be a spiritual man, that we may be a godly woman. Oh, that is now what the Lord is calling His people to. But congregation, we don't have a desire for it. If we are honest, we are honest with ourselves, then we say, I love that world. We say, maybe we, when we are young, that, well, that's for later. That's for later. It is not, right, family? It is not. You know that. You've been through that. We don't have to tell you that. Oh, that calling, when the Lord is coming, oh, you say then a man, he grudgingly goes then along with what the Lord wants. Is that right? No, no. It is so sweet, congregation, because the Lord changes this. Our heart changes that. Oh, then he gives us eyes to see. Oh, he gives us a new heart, children. He gives us a new will. He renews that will. Oh, he gives our heart to make that new choice. Oh, not forcing it, no. Doesn't force it. No, he has a willing people. In the day of his power, and they hear that call, not only coming to their ears, but that call is now coming in their heart. And that is coming with such sweetness. Oh, did you ever read in God's word how the Lord called Samuel? Oh, that was so tender. Samuel. Samuel. You ever hear that call? You ever hear that call? That call ever make a tear come down your cheek? Oh, that is the voice of the Lord. And now the Lord says, come back again. Come back again. Come away. Because you have left me and you have gone your own way. But oh, then I would desire to have you again. And I would like to bring you again into my blessed communion. You ever have a heart to burn after that? And just like the heart of the men walking on the way of Emmaus to Emmaus. Oh, then their heart was burning within them when they heard him speak, and they did not even know who he was. You do not know who the Lord is either. But oh, you read that word. And then in that word, oh, you hear that voice of the Lord tenderly, but not only tenderly, but powerfully working upon the will and upon all the affections that are within your soul to give you a change of opinion about what is good and what is not good, what is right, what is not right, or what is preferable and what is not preferable, what is worth seeking in this world and what is not worth seeking in this world. Oh, what is that true conversion? That is such a sweet thing. Oh, that is such a drawing thing. And when that voice of the Lord is heard, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But congregation, we have to go on quickly here. This is not coming to the bride for the first time. Sadly, then that calling of the Lord has often to come back unto his people. And why? Because they are often wandering away again. Oh, Solomon. Oh, that blessed man of God. And that precious prayer that he prayed to God. And later going out and going into the idol temples of his many heathen wives. Oh, and then the Lord, and he writes about that, doesn't he? Later on in the Song of Solomon, but perhaps also here in this chapter. Oh, then he writes about that. And how that the Lord is calling. Oh, when he is laying on that bed of sloth. And, oh, he knows it. He knows it. He is sleeping. It is not like it used to be. He is sleeping. But he's not dead. He's not dead. It cannot die. Believe that. It cannot die. And the Lord is so tenderly, what a wonder, is it not? When a man has received, when a man has sinned against it all, against everything that he has received from the Lord, is not such a wonder that the Lord does not just cut him off, but that the Lord is coming again with such a great tenderness, and that the Lord is saying unto him, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return unto me, saith the Lord. Why? Oh, his desire. Oh, he doesn't change. That is his desire. And that is his work. He desires communion with his bride. And he's going to get it. He's going to get it. But congregation, there is now a final calling. When that bride, as she will now hear that final calling, when the Lord is calling her out of this life, out of this warfare. And when the Lord says that that warfare that they have to fight in this world, that is over, then it is enough. Oh, there is going to come a last time that the Lord is calling, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I cannot tell you how I have felt that. How I felt that last Wednesday, and when this was provided by the Lord, and when we stood there that last time, and in those last moments, all to read this to him, and then to know that these are now the last moments, and the Lord is calling him away. Oh, then the Lord says, come over that Jordan. Come now out of that wilderness that has now been long enough, and I will give unto you that inheritance that I have provided for you. Why? Oh, because that bridegroom, he wants that communion. Oh, he gets a little bit here, and then that people fall asleep again. And he calls them back again. And he gets a little more, and then they fall asleep again. Or is that not so, people of the Lord? Or is that not so? And now the Lord says, it is enough. Oh, you shall never fall asleep again, because I am going to take you now unto myself. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And when is that? What is now the time of that calling? For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. We say, what time is it? Oh, congregation, it is the springtime. It is the springtime. What does it say? The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Winter was not a time to travel in Palestine, because the rains came and the rivers overflowed. And then there were so many things that came in the way, and those rivers were impassable. And so that the Lord Jesus, he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. That was well known. And that winter time, that was no travel time. And thus here the Lord speaks about all the things that are standing in the way of his communion with his bride, with his church, all the things that make it impossible for them to pass over and into his communion. And now what is standing in the way? Justice. Justice. Does that stand in your way? For that communion with the Lord. Do you know what is standing in the way? I'm sure I can ask some of you. I'm sure that some of you do feel that. Who do have exercises with these things? What is now standing in the way? Oh, it is the truth of the Lord. Because the Lord has said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord is no liar. He is not the son of man that he should repent. Oh, the justice of the Lord that is standing in the way. The truth of the Lord is standing in the way. The holiness of the Lord is standing in the way. Because the Lord is not able to dwell and to commune with such a one as I am. Oh, sins past are standing in the way. Sins present are standing in the way. Sins future are standing in the way, because I cannot change the sinful existence that I am. Sins outward are standing in the way. Sins inward are standing in the way. Sins of motive, sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deed, sins of omission, sins of commission. You say there is everything. Everything that is standing in the way. Do you know what that winter is? That winter, wherein that way is impassable, because there is so much that does prevent me from ever receiving that desire, that burning that is living in my heart, or that I also may be brought back into that blessed communion with Him. That is not only the first time, but that is more and more later. More and more later. Because of all the things that I have done against the goodness of the Lord. And now the Lord comes by renewal. Oh, He is always the first. Always the first. He is the Savior. He is the deliverer of His people. And then the Lord is coming again. Oh, He says, rise up. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For, lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. What does that mean? Oh, that means that He has taken away all the obstacles. Everything that was in the way, everything that did prevent your soul from drawing nigh unto Him, or He has taken that away, that punishment is suffered, that debt is paid, that law is obeyed in perfection. Life is brought in, that Spirit of the Lord is sent forth. Everything. Oh, there is nothing left. Oh, there is, as it were, a clear path that you may come. And therefore, He says, now is the time, because that winter is past and that rain that is over and gone. Now is the time to rise up, to rise and to come away, when there is nothing that is standing in that path anymore. Oh, that winter is past. And then He draws her. Oh, He draws her with that season that is come upon that church. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. And the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. What time is it? Oh, it's a time of warmth. It's a time of warmth, not of cold. And it is the time when the fruits of the land now will begin to bud forth, and they will begin to come forth. Oh, fruits, fruits. Oh, how the people have desired and looked for fruits and could not find them. Why not? Oh, that winter. That winter. And now the Lord says, that winter is past. Oh, especially in that final calling, when the Lord is calling that people. And then He says, it is all finished now, that winter. And you are not going to experience any more, that there are no more fruits. And then He repeats it, congregation, family. He repeats it again for the second time. Oh, then he says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And why does he repeat that? Because he will not take no for an answer. He will not have them to say no. That was with your husband and father also, wasn't it? The first time. And you and the paramedics and your children, the doctors, and we said no. No. This cannot be. He cannot leave us now. And then what? And then the Lord called him again. Second time. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then there was no resisting it anymore, was there? There was no resisting it anymore, was there? Could you stop it anymore? No. Because when the Lord is calling, oh, then he is desiring that he may bring his own people into that communion with himself. What is that now for him? What is that? I can't tell you so much about that. No, but we read in God's word that the time of the singing of birds is come. Or is that not something he sang in this life? Or he learned to sing from his heart. Have you learned it too, young people? To sing from your heart. Because this is where we learn it. This is where we learn it. You were close to your grandfather, weren't you? You will miss him, will you not? Oh, ask the Lord to give you the life of your grandfather. Because we die as we have lived. And when we will learn to sing here, oh, then there will come a time of the singing of birds, the singing of the birds. And now all that fruit, he mourned about that. All that was missing, all the fruit that was missing in his life, all that fruit is there now. Oh, then he may rejoice eternally in it. Oh, family, would you call him back from that? Would you call him back from that? Oh, you say, I love him too much. No. No, call him not back from that. Seek to join him. Seek to join him where he is, because now that calling that is also coming unto you, that is coming unto you this day. And you know, family, that comes to you in such a gentle way. A gentle way today. Why? Because you need not mourn today as one that has no hope. That is why. Because there were fruits in the life. Fruits in the life that could be seen. Although they were upon his back. And thus the Lord comes so gently, doesn't he? Or he comes with comfort in it, doesn't he? And now in this, he is gently calling you. Arise. Arise. And come away. Forsake the world. and every former friend. You ever hear it about Christiana? You read Pilgrim's Progress, right? Pilgrim's Progress. And then he was gone. And then his wife. His wife. And his children. What would it be for him to know that? What would that be for him to know that? That my wife and my children, they did rise up and they followed. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, congregation. Is there anything? Is there anything in all this world that is of such great substance to keep you here? Is there anything of such great value? Is there anything you can keep to all eternity that prevents you, so that you say, I will not go? Is it not all worth to be thrown away? Will it not all soon burn in that great day of days? And we will have to leave it. Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return thither. And now what does the Lord say? The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. There is nothing anymore that is standing in the way of every one of us to be received into favor. You have to die. All that price is so completely paid. You do not have to pay it. I do not have to pay it. If we would have to pay it, it would be impossible. It would be impossible. But the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. He has done it all. And he calls unto us. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. Oh, Lord. It is a little portion of thy holy word. We beseech thee, look on us. Because the calling comes to us, but our hearts are hard, harder than another millstone. Oh, convert us, Lord. Thou didst speak of ground that was good. It was soft. It was plowed up. Lord, thou alone can do this. That there may be a place for that seed of thy word to fall, to germinate, to take root downward, and to bring forth fruit upward. Be thou with this family. We depart to the grave. Uphold them, this widow, and all that love him. Keep us from ourselves. Give us a blessed bowing to thy will. And bless this calling for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 3 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears, with winged hope and power impelling. The wilderness by showers blessed, is now a pilgrim's veil of rest, and 6, 3 and 6 of Psalter 421.
Thank you.